All right. So, again, I want to say good morning, but it's good afternoon. So let's go ahead and open up in prayer. Jesus, again, we just rejoice in you, and we just give you thanks and praise for this day, for the gift that we have to come gather together. And so, Father, you know my heart. You know that I love you so much, and that as I've gone before your throne asking you what you desire for me to share this day, I will be as surprised as my sisters what comes out of my mouth. So I thank you and I praise you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. So, yeah, so it's always on my heart. On the invitation, I said to that I celebrate Christmas 365 days because it is just the best gift ever that the Lord has given us. So it's always sad in my heart when people only celebrate one day out of the year, his birth, because it is such a gift that we have that we celebrate it every day. So I think last year I may have taken down my Christmas decorations maybe in March or April. So even that, I like the lights. The lights just make my heart happy. So sometimes I keep them up a little longer, and my kids laugh at that. So hello to the kids. They'll be seeing my little recording of this. So with the germ thing, I was going to say wash your hands and say your prayers because Jesus and germs are everywhere. I think it's a very cute little poem reminder. So truly, I love Jesus so much, and I want all the world to have him. And so as we come here and gather, like, that's just what my heart is. Whatever is, I have this and this and this and this, and my brain is like a popcorn. And so when I tried to sit down and make order of what I was going to, share with you all, that's why I call it a message. Like, I don't see myself as necessarily a teacher, because everything I'm encouraging you with, the Lord is encouraging me back with these things. We live in this crazy, crazy time in our history, I believe, and so many people are, in despair and just no hope and depressed and scared, and God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And so some of you, I don't know all of your backgrounds, if you grew up going to church or you didn't growing up going to church, or if you read the Bible or you have not read the Bible, there's probably everybody that's in between. And so I did not grow up reading the Bible, and so I always thought it was just filled with fairy tales, and even the way it was presented to me in my church setting, they didn't really believe that the flood was real, and they didn't really believe in the stories of God's word. It was just kind of like they were all symbols is how they were presented to me. And so in this day, this age of, I say, fake news, I think the enemy has taken this book, this Bible of good news, and said, it's fake news. You don't need to read it. It's for that time in life. There's nothing relevant, and that was that God, or that was that example, or that was that illustration, or whatever. But those aren't real and not true. And so since the garden, when Satan lied to Eve, that's been his goal. It's been his full-time employment. He never rests. He is seeking whom he may devour daily. And so that is kind of what we have seen more black and white in these past 2 years. And so we do not need to despair. We have hope. We have hope in this book that God has given us. It's a love letter to us from him. And so I don't know if any of you have gotten love letters in the past, but when you get it, you read it, and you fold it up and you put it away. And then you might pull it out again, and you read it again, and then, you don't throw it away, and you just keep pulling out that love letter. And so if you come to this book academically, it is very dry. Many people, when they can't sleep, they say, oh, just read the Bible. It'll put you to sleep. So it's like Satan either just pushes your eyelids, like, don't look what's in there, or it can be a dry piece of reading. And so I believe that's where we need to ask the Holy Spirit. In every single time we open this book, Lord, let it be fresh. Let me see a part of you. And it can be in one line. It doesn't need to be in an hour's worth of study or a whole book or a whole this or a whole that. Because even that, I think the enemy will use, like, oh, really, that's all you spent in the Lord, one line? No, that one line is filled with life if he's in it. Because he himself says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so we want to just allow him to have his way with each and every one of us. And again, my heart this morning, this afternoon, is just to infuse that encouragement for you guys, especially this Christmas season, especially in this unknown question mark, what lies ahead in this future of life. What can we do? And so I wanted to start with O Come All Ye Faithful, because we can let's see here. I at least wanted to articulate these things. They're so simple, and yet they go out of my brain. That's going to be all right. So we can come to the babe. You know, Jesus came as a baby, and babies, everybody loves little pudgy, cute babies, you know, and they're so approachable, and they're so lovable. And so just thinking about how God came to this earth, he came just so approachable. And so how do we come to him? Well, we also, he wants us to come like a babe. He says, let the little children come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. I'm going to mess up the my little, you know, my verses, so you can get the general gist of what I'm saying. So, like, how does a baby come? Think of your grandkids or your kids and how they come and approach you or even strangers. I mean, they come with such unabandoned, like, they just throw themselves into things. One of Tammy's grandchildren, Timothy, when he was a baby, he was such a picture of me that he can come boldly before the throne of grace. You know, he would just come busting in the living room during a teaching or whatever, and he'd be like, Grandma, you know, where's my whatever, in the middle of a teaching. And so just for us to have that uncensored, you know, just to throw off everything that we have and come running to him with joy. And so, and then living in utter dependence, like a babe. Like a babe is helpless. It cannot do anything for itself when it first comes into this world. It needs to be protected, changed. It needs to be fed. It needs everything. Every single solitary thing is what a babe is dependent on their mother for. So I think that's such a picture. That's the picture that, you know, we have the Christ child coming upon this earth in the manger, and we have him saying that he wants us to come like little children, and then having that dependence. So it's kind of hard because many of us are, you know, in the Lord in 30, 40 years or more, but he still wants us to come like little children. And so God doesn't have any grandchildren. He only has children. And so he sees each of us as these kids. And so so we want him to have his way and his will in each of our lives, and see what he's going to be having for us. So, like I said, I knew I'd be all over the place. All right. There we are. All right, so in the spring, I kind of like given a little overview about the truth of the word, and just knowing that we don't have a question mark of what the beginning was like. We can go back to the garden, and we have an account of creation. And so I was thinking about, you know, the Big Bang Theory, or I was thinking about the evolution. You know, those are two of the big popular ones that are out there in this world. And so I was thinking about evolving and thinking about a child. Okay, we come into this world. This is not going to be very nice of me, but we come into this world with no teeth, crawling, and in diapers. And many of us, not all, will leave this earth wearing diapers, having no teeth, and possibly crawling. So that I do not see as an evolution. And so then the other one is the Big Bang. You know, I don't know if you've ever had an explosion. My house looks like an explosion right now, so there's not really peace and order there. I was late this morning, but we're not really, because we got to eat beforehand, so everything was good. But think about your cell phones or your computers. I mean, those things are, like, amazing. You know, how do I cook this, or how do I do this, or how do I go here, or how do I go there? And so you all are wonderfully, fearfully, marvelously made. He knows each and every one of your names since before the foundation of the earth. That is mind-blowing. And these computers that God has designed are not by accident. We have a creator, and every little DNA inside of us, everything on our bodies from, you know, cosmetologists, you know, from the Lanugo hairs on your face, the little peach fuzz, why you have eyelashes, everything. God does not create junk. And so everything that is in our bodies is marvelous. And then I think down to, like, the tiniest one of those little bugs that you see that are smaller than a dot. I mean, like, smaller than a dot. And if it lands on you, feel its little teeth biting you. I mean, that's fascinating. That thing can eat, drink, eliminate, procreate. Like, what? It's a dot. And it has something that, like, bit me, like, that annoyed me. So I just think about, I mean, it goes back to the beginning. I think it's so important to go back to the beginning. If you don't go back to the beginning, then we can play church and we can play Jesus and we can go through life without really having the rock and the surety of what our foundation of our faith is and who our God is that we have our hope and our trust in. And so when I first got saved in April of 1991, I was like, the pastor said, do you want to ask Jesus into your heart, be your Lord and Savior? And I was like, well, who says no to the Lord? Like, I had called him Lord my whole life, but I didn't know he wanted to be my Lord. And I called him Savior, but I didn't know I needed saving. And so that was quite the revelation. So I was like, okay. So I prayed, and then I started crying, and I'm like, there's no way I can love this Jesus like these, like, crazy Christians do. I mean, you know, they're, like, fanatical. They come to Bible study, you know, several times a week. And so he was like, no, he loves you. And he pulled David up, and he just showed me how David was a sinner and all the things that he did, but God still loved him and used him, and how Peter, how he even denied Christ, but yet he still used him. And so anyhow, so I came to faith, and then I started going to a Bible study. And when I went to a Bible study, I was like, wow, there's, like, proof to believe what we believe, why we believe. Like, it's not just this pie in the sky shot in the dark, like, yeah, he made me have goosebumps and feel good, and now everything. No. Like, this book was 66 books written by over 40 authors, and Jesus himself fulfilled over 300 prophecies. So I can dissect this book and give you all of the, you know, stats and the statistics and all the, and that's good, and that's important, and that is marvelous, and that is proof. However, until Jesus opens the eyes of our hearts, it is a book. It is dry. It is academic. And so we see the Pharisees that he said, you know the word, but you don't know me, because their hearts were far from understanding and having a relationship with a living God. And so my prayer is that we all have the eyes of our hearts open and that we can see this living Jesus who has come upon this earth, who has walked among us, who has died in our place upon a tree, who not only died upon the cross, but who rose again. And in rising again, he is here this day in each and every one of you. It was beautiful hearing worship this morning. I mean, hearing the Christmas songs, which is worship. And just hearing this morning, I was listening to the Narnia story. And just, he is alive. Yes, he died. That was the saddest day. I hate Easter. I always, like, I wish, you know, like, you know, when you watch a really good movie and you know the way that it's going to end, you're like, maybe this time Pontius Pilate won't let him go to the cross. Maybe it can be stopped, you know. And when I first got saved, I was like, you know, Lord, why? You shouldn't have come down here for us. You should have stayed up there. But he loved us enough to come down here. Again, each and every one of us, if just one of you were here, he would have still come down and died that death upon the tree for you and me, or for you. And so, let's see, like I said, I just am like a popcorn hopping here and there. Oh, and how his DNA is in each of us. In Genesis 1:26, and God said, let us make mankind in our image. And so God created mankind in his own image. So we also don't have to wonder, you know, Jesus is the representation of the Father. And so, again, that is an intimate peace that he came down and walked among us. So we don't have to wonder, is this God, what does he look like? You know, is he just this mystery blob up there, or is he with the axe and hammer ready to, you know, hit us upon our heads? No, he said that we are made in his image. So we are in his image bearers. And that to me is, again, he's just mind blowing when we really, really, we can't even take it all in. And so that's why I think I'm just like, okay, Lord, help me to represent you. And they won't see Anne. So hopefully you guys are going to hear words from him and not from me. And so, walking face to face in the Garden of Eden was the greatest gift that Adam and Eve had. And then they had the greatest gift when they fell, that God moved them out of the garden so that they couldn't eat of the tree of life until Christ fulfilled his death upon the cross so that we can live forever the way that he desires for us to. So he's had this plan. It wasn't a surprise that Adam and Eve did what they did, and so we can also praise him for that. I wanted to look at Daniel this morning because that was in my devotion right around Thanksgiving. And I was fascinated with the book of Daniel because sometimes I come to the Bible and it is dry and it is academic and I don't get it. And sometimes I just pat it and I'm like, okay, Lord, I don't understand that part. You know, maybe you'll show me later. And so, but when I really like, I don't know, it's a mystery. It's a miracle. But when I ask him to show me himself, guess what? He does. He so desires to show himself. And so when we take that time and say, Lord, reveal yourself to me. And so I was going to look at Daniel and kind of dissect his life. And, you know, he was from the royal line of David. And I started, like, getting all these facts and information. And then I'm like, no, it's not about Daniel. It's about the God of Daniel. And so I kind of halted that, but that is a great study if anybody wants to dive into Daniel and his background and everything. And so God chooses the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And so, you know, I never want to self-appoint myself like, I'm going to do a Christmas thing and I want to share something that God, you know, has inside of me. But, and that's why as I, like, write and write and write and write, it always changes what I'm writing. And so that's where I'm like, okay, Lord, whatever you have come out of me, let it be whatever you want to have come out of me, which is why it's going to be all disconnected. So I apologize. I'm a work in progress. But He has chosen me because I am a mess, you know, and so that's okay because I want him to get the glory. But Daniel is an amazing book. The things that God did in and through that time, the way that he revealed himself. For those of you who don't know the book of Daniel, there's the three characters, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or Abednego if you're Tom. And the three of them were thrown into the fiery furnace. And while they were in the fiery furnace, I know that's not Daniel, but it's in the book of Daniel, while they were in the fiery furnace, the king saw a fourth one walking around. And then he was like, get them out of there. And they came out, and not even their eyebrows were singed. I've had my eyebrows singed. And so not even their eyebrows from this fiery furnace that was heated, what, 10 times, 100 times hotter than it was supposed to be. And so God was that fourth one walking around. God was that one that protected them. And yet when they went in there, they were like, you know, hey, our God can save us in this fire. But even if he doesn't, like, he's still God and it's all good, you know. And so I love that story. And then the book of Daniel with the lion's den, if you're all familiar with that story. If you're not familiar, he would not bow down and worship the king. And so he didn't have any dirt on him that he could be accused. And so people like saw him praying. They were like, I know, we'll get the king to make a decree that no one can worship any other god but the king. And so they made this yucky little decree. And then they were like, ha-ha, we saw him. He was praying to his god, you know, into the lion's den. And so Daniel actually, according again to my little research that I halted, he was like 80 years old when he was thrown into the lion's den. So we all see, you know, like a young little Daniel. But no, he was like 80, 81, 82, 83, something like that. And so when he was in the lion's den to be eaten because he was praying and bowing down to his God and not the king, King Darius, he was like, isn't that his name, King Darius, I believe? He was like, oh, well, is Daniel okay? Like, I hope his God showed up to protect him last night. And sure enough, those little lions weren't very hungry when Daniel was in there. And so the king was like, get Daniel out and put those little guys in there. And so, and their wives and their children. I kind of felt bad about reading that part. That wasn't too good. But so make sure you keep your husbands in line. Is that message? No, I'm teasing. I'm kidding. Just kidding. So anyhow, so what is my point in that is God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is unchanging. He is real. He is alive. He is full of hope. His word is a love letter to our hearts and souls. We are in some dark days, but we have the light of the world and earth and treasures. We are celebrating the birth of the babe, of the King of Kings. And that is a joyous, awesome, go tell it on the mountain, everywhere. It's the greatest news ever. And so Nancy knows my heart and the beams that I've shared. Like right now, I've just been, I want to tell everybody this, you know. But right now, truth is not so popular. A lot of people are like, shut up, I don't want to hear that. Because this is life. This is life and this is truth. And not everybody, but, you know, for the most part. So instead, I painted my house and I, like, did all kinds of things around the house because Jesus, I believe, is coming back soon. Now, it could be today. I know in Paul's day they thought it was then, 2,000 years ago. It could be 100 years. All right, we got a span there. So when's he coming? We don't know. No one knows the day nor the hour. So this is what I want to leave you with. This is the world that I try to plant myself in, that we abide in him each and every day. That we have joy like we do this day, that we have fellowship, that we have love, that we have laughter, that we share truth. To me, that is the key for each and every day until we depart here and go home to be with Jesus, or he takes us all home, whichever one comes first. Because 10 out of 10 people have died. Yes, this is my third little PSA report. 10 out of 10 people die. It's true. So we all need to live ready. No one is guaranteed tomorrow. Whether or not you're a newborn babe or you're 110 or older. God knows the number of our days. We don't. Just like he knows when we'll be taken home, we don't. And so life does not get lived any differently with that in view. But to just rejoice in each day when those fiery darts come in, take every thought captive into the obedience of Christ. To remember that he's promised to never leave you nor forsake you. This is filled with so much hope, so much joy, so much truth. And so we have a choice. Do we look at the news or the fake news or the yucky news, or do we look to the good news? I choose the good news. I was in a car accident the other day, and praise God, I say it was the best accident because we both lived. Neither of us were injured. The cars didn't fare, well, I think Tyler's truck fared worse than the young man's. I only took off his bumper and lights. I thought that was pretty good. He accidentally didn't look right and pulled out in front of me as I was going down Rocks Road at 50 miles an hour. So I did everything that I could. But I said to him, that was the best accident ever. Because Jesus loves you so much that he had you pull out in front of me so I could tell you how much he loves you. I know you're going to think I am a nutty fruitcake. I said, listen, I am a half glass is full kind of person. And I choose to look at the bright side of this. And so he was like, I really appreciate you being so calm about this. And I said, you know what? Hey, the other option is I get really upset, really irate. My husband's going to kill me. You know, oh, I'd rather not go there. I'm like, God does not allow anything that is not allowed through his hand to happen. And we're going to look for the joy in this, and we're going to look for the good in this, no matter what. Because God is in it, and God is right here with us. And hopefully he'll never hear this little thing, but he's going through a rough time, and he was on his way to a psychiatrist or psychologist. And so I said, you need the great counselor.
Wow.
No, go Jesus, go Jesus, go Jesus. It's a go Jesus thing. So I just say that to encourage you wherever we are. Tom Wontrop is an awesome brother and teacher, and he always says, wherever you are is where Jesus wanted to show up. So accidents are very inconvenient. I was on my way to get the oil change for my husband to take the truck on a getaway. And so that was a bummer. But I was like, okay, Jesus, you wanted to show up so I could meet this young man. And then his mother came on the accident site. And I'm like, you wanted to show up so I could meet her and we could pray. I could pray over them and give them hopefully you. And then I guess you wanted me to show up and be with the little tow truck man, Mr. One Leg Jack. And I guess you wanted me to show up at North Harbor Collision, so when we have that perspective of wherever he takes us, whatever we go through, whether or not it's to the hospital, whether or not it's in a car accident, whether or not, you know, whatever it is, if we are seen taking him wherever we go, so he can show up, or even you be blessed by who you're showing up with and having that meeting with. And like I said in the beginning, these are all things to encourage me as I'm encouraging you, because he's the one that's alive encouraging all of us. And so so I'm going to go ahead and read from his word. I don't want to leave his word out. This is another thing that was in my devotion that just ministered to my heart, so I wanted to share it with all of you. It's from 1 Peter 1:13. So prepare your minds for action and exercise self-control. Put all your hope in the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. So you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better then, but now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God, who chose you, is holy. For the scriptures say, "You must be holy because I am holy." And remember, the Heavenly Father to whom you pray has no favorites. He will judge or reward you according to what you do. So you must live in reverent fear of him during your time here as temporary residents. For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. It was not paid with mere gold or silver, which lose their value. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. God chose him as your ransom long before the world began. But now, in these last days, he has been revealed for your sake. Through Christ, you have come to trust in God, and you have placed your faith and hope in God because he raised Christ from the dead and gave him great glory. You were cleansed from your sins when you obeyed the truth. So now you must show sincere love to each other as brothers and sisters. Love each other deeply with all your heart. For you have been born again, but not to a life that will quickly end. Your new life will last forever, because it comes from the eternal living word of God. As the scriptures say, people are like grass. Their beauty is like a flower in the field. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And that word is the good news that was preached to you. So how can we do all these things? He says, so get rid of all evil behavior. Be done with all deceit, hypocrisy, jealousy, and all unkind speech. Like newborn babes, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. Cry out for this nourishment now that you have had a taste of the Lord's kindness. So let me close in prayer. Jesus, we do just want to abide in you. Oh, come, let us adore you like little babes ourselves. And so, Father, we just, I pray for any words that came out of my mouth. Whatever was of you, let that land on my sister's hearts. And whatever is not of you, let it blow away in the wind. That is always my heart. That is always my prayer. And so I thank you again, Father, for this day that we just have such an awesome God who has not left us nor forsaken us. We thank you, Father, that you have given us the Holy Spirit as the helper to guide us, encourage us, comfort us, teach us, chasten us, whatever it may be, Lord God. We just thank you that you have your fingers upon us all like a daddy loving his child. And so we, again, praise you and celebrate this day in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.